You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Joining me on this Saturday morning to talk about her newest novel is New York Times bestselling author Christina McMorris. Her book, The Edge of Lost, is available in bookstores now. It is a tale that stretches from Dublin, Ireland to New York City to San Francisco Bay. Christina McMorris, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
This is quite a journey you take us on in The Edge of Lost, and I'm curious what set you out on the journey to tell this tale, because, as I said, it stretches from Ireland to the United States and both coasts of the United States, and it's quite a journey that you take Shan on in this book.
Yeah, absolutely. It all started because I'd been fascinated by Alcatraz for a long time, as I'm sure many people are, and I stumbled across a documentary titled Children of Alcatraz. And the title alone intrigued me, and I watched this documentary online, almost immediately streamed, and it was interviewing adults who were kids on Alcatraz, grew up there as children of the prison staff. And some of them even claimed to have secretly befriended the inmates. One of them said he used to play checkers with Robert Stroud, who, of course, you know, is the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And as a writer, immediately the light bulb goes on. You think, oh, my goodness, this is a story. So that's where the novel began.
Well, it begins in 1919 and begins, as I said, in Dublin, Ireland. Why did you decide this was going to be a young Irishman that you were going to write about in this story?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is I originally pictured immediately the opening of the book, which a lot of authors I know do. We kind of a lot of times see the beginning and the end and then try to figure out what happens in the middle to get us there because we don't want it to be a short story.
Yes.
And in this case, I immediately knew I saw that opening scene as on Alcatraz in the middle of a storm and the search is going on, and yet it's for the missing daughter of a prison guard. And a convicted bank robber is the only person who knows where she is, and he's keeping that secret for a very specific reason. So I saw that opening in my mind like a film, and then I thought, gosh, how did we get here? And so in my room, as I sat there brainstorming, thinking I do want this more than 2 pages long, I saw an immigrant ship, and originally thinking, you know, these are Italians because you've got organized crime that would obviously lead to Alcatraz, and yet I thought, gosh, what if this ship came from Ireland? And that's where the story began. It's probably largely also because of my own family roots. My grandfather on my mother's side, I was all Irish leading back to Ireland, and he passed away about 20 years ago, and yet I remember distinctly, people often said because of his dark complexion, he was dark Irish, that he could pass as Italian.
Hmm.
And so I remembered that tidbit, and it worked its way into the story.
Well, Shanley Keegan is the main character in The Edge of Lost. That's how we as readers know him, but he is, his name changes along the way, and he has adventures at a very interesting time in American history, and that's right around the 1920s. As I said, the novel begins in 1919 in Ireland, but he moves to America, and it's in the height of vaudeville, and Shan is a little indulges in that scene as well. Was this a period of history that you particularly enjoy, that early 20th century, or was it merely Alcatraz, and when Alcatraz was operating, that kind of drove the timeline for the book?
It was really the Alcatraz timeline that drove it originally, because I'm used to writing World War II. That's typically my comfort zone for the rest of my novels.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in this case, I thought, you know, I joke that I really spread my wings so far into the 20s and 30s. So that's me, you know, stepping slightly my toe out of the comfort zone. But I've always loved that era anyway. The movies, you know, of course, the Prohibition, the speakeasies. It's also romantic in film, and yet also a very dark and grim time in our, you know, the actual reality of it in our history. And so when I backed up to that time period, it was writing about everything that I love to read about myself as a reader. So you've got Brooklyn and Prohibition and the mobster scene. And yet, as you said, as I started researching and my character started developing more, because he is a chameleon of sorts, in that he is an impressionist and a joke teller and entertainer that he learned from listening to gramophone records in Ireland over and over and over again of these vaudevillians. And it became a way for him to survive. And I loved the fact that he would start in Brooklyn and then that vaudeville route would take him all over the country and bring on all kinds of experiences that he didn't expect.
Christina McMorris, her newest novel is called The Edge of Lost. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And you bring up a couple of notable names that everyone will recognize from that period. I'm not going to quote any here, Christina, because I don't want to give anything away. But as a writer, do you find it dangerous when doing a historical novel or somewhat historical novel like this and dabbling with the real-life characters?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, I try to take that duty responsibly as a writer, and that you try not to be too presumptuous about what they would actually say, especially when it comes to dialogue. But I loved that my character ended up crossing paths with some of these real-life people who would have been around at the time. You know, you've got George M. Cohan, of course, with the vaudeville scene, and then when Alcatraz, how can you write about Alcatraz in the 30s without having, you know, people like Al Capone and Machine Gun Kelly? And then there was real wardens and real guards that were there at the time as well. So I really tried to do as much research about the people as possible if I included them, you know, in any significant way other than a cameo or a walkthrough.
So what kind of research did you do for the Edge of Lost? I mean, obviously you became quite familiar with Alcatraz, which kind of sparked the story. But many visits to Alcatraz, or what kind of research did you do?
Yeah, well, I ended up, before taking a daytime tour of Alcatraz, once I did enough research that I really felt I knew where the story was going with the Alcatraz scene, so that I knew what I was really looking for and what questions to ask, then I took a night tour of Alcatraz. And I highly recommend it. You get there at about 6 o'clock at night, and then you are able to stay until well past 9, 10 o'clock at night. And they have special presentations all over the island that are going on at the same time that you can kind of pick and choose what topic you want to listen to, like a conference on Alcatraz, which is mm-hmm. so strange. But I loved it. They apparently even offer at times, it's a lottery system. It's very difficult to get in. It's nonprofits only, but you can spend the night at Alcatraz. And believe me, I tried to find my way into that. I went with my mother, and she said, if you are doing that, you'll find me at the Hilton. She had none of that. But regardless, I got so much out of it and met park rangers who, those poor people, had no idea what they were agreeing to when they agreed to give me their email address to answer any more questions I had. So I'm sure they regretted that, and I ended up following up with some of them who were just amazing, especially with the gardening aspect of Alcatraz, because my character, of course, becomes a gardener on the rock where they had these amazing greenhouses that they built themselves. And so I loved that dichotomy and being able to research what kind of plants they had, you know, what the cells were like, what the curfews were like. All of that was really helpful.
I feel a need to be entirely clear. This book is not entirely about Alcatraz. Alcatraz does play a role in it, but not, it's not a crime novel necessarily, right?
No, in a lot of ways, it's an immigrant story that kind of it bookends with, it starts with Alcatraz and it backs up to this man's journey. A lot of times with my friends, I like to describe the book as Angela's Ashes meets Shawshank Redemption. And I think if you combine those two together, two of my all-time favorites, and that's pretty much the story of the novel, in that you follow his journey through Brooklyn and, like you said, all over the country and end up in San Francisco, and yet it really is so much of a coming-of-age story at the same time.
Why do you torture Shan so much in the book, Christina?
Because he's a poor guy. And he deserves it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'll tell that to my husband, actually. That's a good one. No, you know, because you, as a writer, you're supposed to be mean, aren't you? It wouldn't be. I love conflict in books, and I, as a reader, I try to write what I would enjoy reading. And so as a reader, I love conflict to turn the pages. And the more conflict that you give him and try to figure out a way that, you know, you think, how is he possibly going to get out of this? Those are the moments that I think you want to keep rushing to the end. So that's what I try to do.
The book is called The Edge of Lost by Christina McMorris. Details about the book and Christina's work at our website, wvxu.org. And As I went on this, I love your writing, Christina. I mean, it just the story and the descriptions, you know, swept me into the story, and I loved cheering on Shan and feeling his heart break along the way as well. But I was surprised to find that you came to being a writer late in life. I mean, your debut book was released in 2011, right? So this is something new for you.
It is. I joke that I am the accidental author. That's what I call myself, because it's, you know, I'm so envious of my author friends who all say, "Oh, I wrote my first novel when I was 8 years old." Mm-hmm. You know, it was about a cat sitting on a mat. You know, but always knew I wanted to be an author. That was their lifelong dream. And believe me, they were so far ahead of me. I'm sure when I decided to sit down and write a novel, I don't say this with pride. I was barely a reader at the time. So there's a lot of blissful ignorance that went into my decision to sit down and write, of all things, a World War II novel, because, you know, facts don't matter in those kind of stories whatsoever.
Right.
But it was really because my grandmother and I sat down and I interviewed her for the biographical section of a handmade family cookbook that I was making for Christmas to share with the family, full of her favorite recipes that she had collected and created over decades. Put in a biographical section about her life in it, had planned to just make copies at Kinko's, and as she was sharing her life story and about the fact that she and my late grandfather had only dated twice during World War II, exchanged letters the entire time, fell in love through these letters, and were married for 50 years until he passed away, that story stuck with me when I left her house. And before I left her house, she said, "Would you like to see the letters?" So no one in the family knew she had these. Of course, it begs the question, "Grandma, why didn't you share this with anyone before?" And she said, "Well, nobody asked." And, you know, that's that greatest generation humbleness for you. So we spent the afternoon reading these beautiful, yellow, wrinkled pages from an 18-year-old sailor who did not know if he'd be coming home tomorrow. And it was so poetic and beautiful, and when I left her house, I thought, this would make a great movie. It'd be like The Notebook meets Saving Private Ryan. And, you know, and it would if it had a Cyrano de Bergerac twist. What if you didn't know who was actually writing the letters? How well could you really know someone? And from there, I ended up deciding one day to sit down and write it as a novel that I could make copies at Kinko's and share with my kids one day, and that was going to be it. And yet, once I got in, like The Godfather, once they get you in, you can't get out. And I ended up falling in love with the process and did a lot of making up with the reading and researching and learning about the craft.
Well, with The Edge of Lost, you've stepped out of your comfort zone, you said, you know, not so much World War II, a little bit beforehand. Are you going to continue to stretch that comfort zone, Christina?
You mean going into, like, 1910?
Or maybe the other way, you know.
Right. Go kind of go my decades, a little bit here, a little bit there. I just love that period so much. Between the 20s and the 50s has always been a fascination for me anyway, with the music and the fashion. And, you know, I was the kid in junior high who wore saddle shoes, if that tells you anything. So apparently there was a historical storyteller in me just begging to come out at some point. And now I get to, thankfully, make money instead of, you know, doing it instead of being a weirdo, although my kids may disagree with that. So I am going to be working on a new novel right now, actually doing a lot of the research pretty heavily. And so it is going to be right around, actually, around the 30s, going through World War II, but a completely different aspect than I've ever written before.
Well, here on the Book Club at 91.7, frequently we ask folks, what are you reading? And Christina McMorris, what are you reading right now?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm reading two different novels right now that because I had one with travel, and then I had one when I came home, and it was just so enticing to break open a new one. I've got The Life We Bury and Black Eyed Susans, and they are both great so far, both page-turning.
Well, so is The Edge of Lost. Appreciate the story and appreciate your time this morning here on the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Christina McMorris, her new novel is The Edge of Lost. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.